Good morning, True North Church. I'm just going to assume that you are the guys that did not hear that there was a pop quiz this morning, judging by the ones who decided not to be here today. So are you guys ready to have some fun? All right, so we're going to get things kicked off this morning. We're going to play a game. Everybody cool with playing a game in church? All right, we're going to play the yes-no game, and it's super simple. Unless you really struggle with it, then I'll go along and we'll say that the game was hard. But this is how it works. Now, I'm going to let you know, the early group, they had some struggles. The early group tends to be older people. I'm not saying it. You know, hey, let's be honest. I'm getting a little older. You can ask my wife. I forget a lot of stuff. So it's possible you could forget the instructions to a game in 5 minutes. So we're going to play the yes-no game. And the way this works is I'm going to make a statement. And some of the statements will be objective facts. Like, I'll say that the sun is hot. You wouldn't say no to that because the sun is hot. So even if you would say that it's not that hot, the sun is hot, okay? And then there's subjective facts. Like, I can say it's cold in here. Some of you right now are burning up. You're like, oh my goodness, can they turn the air up? And other people are like, oh, I should have brought a jacket and a quilt, some mittens. So that's a subjective fact. And on subjective facts, you can say whatever it's what you feel, okay? Not what you think I would say. So if I say, let's try it. So what you do is when you see the card that matches what you say, you yell it out loud and proud. So you would say no, or you would say yes. And I've even got it written on the back so that I can read it too. Okay, just helps with the dyslexia. So, are we ready? Yep. You let me know. Okay, so let's try it. I like steak.
Yes.
All right, so just in terms of being able to follow directions, when you see the card with your answer on it, yell it out loud, proud. Little rewind. All right, I like steak.
Yes.
That is... One more time for the really slow kids in the class. When you see your card with yes written on it, then you will yell out. Until you see yes, zip it. All right. I like steak.
Yes.
Boom. All right, Nat, now, like I said, this is a really simple game. Dear Jesus. Wait. Dear Lord. Jesus, we need you. We can't do this without you, Lord. Please help us. All right, so a couple practice questions, okay, just to get us warmed up, all right? Here, let's just try some yes-nos. When you see the card, just yell it out.
Yes. No.
No.
Yes. No.
All right. I'm going to pull something. I'm going to limp around the rest of the day. I'm always familiar. I told you to quit acting like... All right. Here we go. We're ready to do this. I just got to rewind from this morning. Okay. Long. I should have did four sets. That would have been difficult. I could have taped a different one to the bottom of my shoe, maybe. All right. This is starting to feel too much like exercise. I'm breathing hard, man. All right. So I already did I like steak. So I'm just going to say a word. Huskers.
Yes.
Ooh. Ooh. It's about to get ugly in here. Somebody must not have told you. Don't say that. Have you been in Walmart doing a Huskers game? Everything stops. Even if you go shopping, the game is on. Like they play that over the intercom system. I mean, it's almost like a religion around here. Be careful what you say no to. Just saying, just so you're warned. All right, let's try some subjective, some more subjective. Chevy.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Ford.
Yes.
John Deere.
Yes.
Just to keep it fair for the ladies, Maybelline.
Yes.
L'Oreal.
Yes.
Walmart. All right. Here we go. I want to be successful. Your own mother. All right, there we go. Now we're cooking with gas. All right. Talking about spirits, demons, and forces of evil is awkward. That's the same thing the first service said. Sorry, it's going to be awkward. Just kidding. The sky is green. No. Almost, you know, there's always that one kid in class, right? Grass is blue. Trick question. I've never seen bluegrass, but I have heard it. All right. Making sure I didn't miss any. All right. So now we're going to get into some objective things. God commands. God commands that we love one another.
Yes.
God commands that we love our children. It's just two letters. Just for your sake, I'll start with no first every time, okay? God commands that we love the unlovable. So she's got it now. It's an eyesight problem.
Yes.
This, by the way, this is the no hand. I should have said, let's rewind, go back. This is the no on the left, yes on the right. Left, right. All right. It's a little funky when you're looking at people, I know. All right, God commands, what did I say last? The unlovable? That we love the poor and fatherless.
Yes.
God commands that we love our enemies.
Yes.
All right, so just as a church, man, you talk about unity in the church. We were pretty unanimous. Give yourself a big round of applause. Good job, church. Super simple game. You guys, it was a little rough start, but all right. So pretty unanimous there that God commands us to love at all times, to love all people, to love not those that can do something for us, but to love simply because Jesus first loved us. We're to love supernaturally, not just loving people that can do things for us. So we're getting closer to the, I said there would be a pop quiz. Did anybody see that video online, that there would be a pop quiz today? None of those people are here. Does anybody look at Facebook? Does anybody read Pastor Paul's emails? Show of hands. Wait a minute, let me get my thing out.
Yes. No.
She doesn't even have email, I'll tell you. So, there was no Sunday school today if you didn't read the emails. Did anybody see the smoke signals? I got to figure out a better way to communicate. So there will be a pop quiz today, and part of that pop quiz, we'll kick it off right now. I have prizes for those of you that know answers. If you know no answers, you get no pop lollipop. All right. So who knows what the title of Pastor Paul's sermon was last week? Just yell it out. Now, there's one person knows because he does the drawing outside on the board every time. Somewhere over there. Huh? Something about silence. Are you listening? Was that you in the back, right there? Oh, it's not fair. You're the church secretary. Well, now everybody knows the answer, Nina. Are you listening? Are you listening? Was last week's sermon title in this? Who knows the name of the sermon series? Wisdom for the Times. It's on the board. It's on the TV screen. So who knows today's sermon title? Do you want revival? Does anybody want revival? Wait a minute. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Do you want revival? Okay, nobody said no. It's kind of like, do you want success? All right, so we're going to get to that. And last week, there was a super awkward moment in the church service. Does anybody know when that was? Anybody remember? You remember? In the beginning, the screen went blank, and Pastor Paul just sat there and didn't say anything. It's going to be more awkward than that today. a lot of people, they knew that was coming, so they chose to stay home and watch online. Hello, people that chose to stay home and watch online. No suckers for you. So we're going to get into this, all right? So the Bible commands that we should love one another. God says we should love because He first loved us. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I want us to imagine God's love this morning, okay? His indescribable, uncontainable, amazing, never-ending, reckless love. Now, God's love isn't really reckless. It seems reckless to us that He would abandon His place of residence, that He would put on human flesh. But the Bible tells us that love never fails, that nothing can overcome it, nothing can defeat it, nothing can prevail against it, nor detract from it. Love is God, and God is love, and love conquers all. There is nothing that can overwhelm or overtake love. And in fact, if we could abide in love perfectly, we would find that our lives would go a lot better. But we get this scarcity mentality, and we draw back because somebody steps on our foot, and we want to kick them in the face. You know, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. We want to get violent on the freeway. We don't want to hurt them. We just want to shake them loose a little bit, right? But love never fails. That's what the Bible tells us, right? Love never fails. All these things pass away, but love never fails, and Jesus didn't fail. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. There's a band called Down Here. They penned these words to a song. How many kings step down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their heart to romance a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Now think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He came into a fallen world, and he put on human flesh. And what that should mean to us, have you ever stubbed your toe? I'm glad you don't exist, because if you've ever stubbed your toe, you know how extremely excruciating, painful that you're. How many people think you have broken your toe? Right? I always think that it's broken. I always think that I'm pretty sure that I'm going to look and it's going to be dangling at a weird angle. It hurts. That's how bad it hurts. So Jesus put on flesh. He felt pain the way that we felt, the way that we feel pain. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to be tired, to be out in the sun all day and to be tired and to want to rest. He knows what it feels like to be afflicted by the same afflictions that we face on a daily level. He put on human flesh and He stepped into a fallen world. He stepped into the darkness of a cursed world to show us the love of God and to atone for our sins. And by laying down His life for us, He did this. We sing songs like, oh, the wonderful, oh, how wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. So I want to ask you, this isn't the awkward part, but we're getting closer. If you would, close your eyes for a minute and use your imagination, okay? So just close your eyes and concentrate on the love of God. Think back to the day of your own salvation, to the day that Jesus Christ took the burden away, that His love became real. Pray and ask God to fill your heart, to fill your heart with His Spirit, with His amazing love. Keep praying and asking God for Him to fill you with His love, the love that Jesus showed on the cross, while I talk. Keep your eyes closed and just think about the love of Jesus Christ, the love that drove Jesus to the cross, the love that when He was struck, He didn't strike back. Imagine the greatness of this love of God, that He would lay down His life. No one took His life from Him. He laid it down. for the joy that was before him, for you and for me and for everybody in this room and for this world that seems so dark and cruel and heartless. He suffered the cross. He didn't face a quick and painless execution. He was beaten into an inch of his life, and he drug a heavy wooden cross on the back that had been ripped open and left raw. Can you imagine the pain that he endured to pick up that cross? And he drug it, not like someone going to his execution, but like somebody running a marathon on his final moments, coming to the finish line. He endured that pain. He carried it out because of his love. He took the pain. He took the nails. He took the insults. He took the beating and the accusations. They cried out, "If you're the Son of God, save yourself." And Jesus could have called for a legion of angels. He could have came down from the cross. He could have cried out to the Father, "This isn't worth it. They aren't worth it." But in spite of it all, he stayed. He stayed. He stayed, and he endured the pain. He endured the nails. He endured the insults and the accusations. And Paul sums it all up in Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you open your eyes? Now here's the awkward part. On the count of three, not just wait for it. On the count of three, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just stand up and greet some people around you. Look them in the eyes, shake their hand, and say, "I love you." Okay? One, two, three. Let's go. All right. Everybody feel good? Was that awkward? All right. Is it hard to tell people you don't know that you love them? I mean, I think it's easy to get cynical in life and to be distrustful of others. And certainly there's reason for that, but Christ died for us while we were yet still sinners. Isn't that amazing to think about? You know, when we think about the things that touch our heart are usually stories that encapsulate what love really is. Right? C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan gives his life for the guilty. And he lays down his life, and you know, they come and they kill the lion. And everybody is heartbroken because they love Aslan so much. But the next day, Aslan's fine. He's back to life. And he says that the witch didn't know that there's a deeper magic, right? So Lewis is giving us this story of stories. The story of what love is, that nothing can... Love laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. And we see this in multitude of stories in different forms and fashions, you know. I think about Homeward Bound. And this is sad, because every time I watch the movie, I still tear up. But at the end of the movie, when you think all's lost, and here comes the dog and the cat, and I'm like, ah! They're alive. You know, and that's that kernel of truth, of true truth. Because when we hear the truth, the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. And there's something in us that resonates with truth. So when we hear truth and we see... Anyhow, moving on. I'm wondering, you know, how many people are here today and your father never said, "I love you"? Anybody fit that category? Anybody's father never say, "I love you"? You know, we talked about this first service, and it's an older, demographically, it's an older generation. And there was a lot more guys that would have said their father never loved you. And I followed it up by this question: how many people knew that your father loved you without him ever saying a word? And they all put their hand up. And you know, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever shook somebody's hand, looked them in the eye, and said, I love you. But do we know that Jesus loved us, unquestionably loved us deeply? Yeah. Yeah, we do, because of his actions. And so there's a famous quote that it says, in every instant preach the gospel, and if at all necessary, use words. So we're always preaching a message, right? And it is our job to abide in love. John 15:13, Jesus says there's no greater love than this, than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And we know this is true. It resonates with our heart. In the United States, the highest medal award to a soldier is the Medal of Honor. And most of the time, it's awarded posthumously, which means after life. That means someone has given their life in an uncommon act of valor. And most of the time, it's a soldier who, when he sees that his friends are in harm's way, puts himself between his friends and death and gives their life that somebody else can live. And this is the highest award that is given in the United States. And I think for good reason, because it echoes the truth. It echoes the truth when somebody jumps on a grenade to save their friends. They demonstrated that there's no greater love than to give your life to save your friends. And then we come to the story of Jesus Christ, and that's not exactly what it says. It says Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. Imagine your enemy dying for you to show you what love is. Because you wouldn't see it, because you couldn't hear it, because you were blinded by pride. And Jesus had to do something amazing to reach into a darkened, hardened heart and open eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear, so that we might know what love is. So I'm asking the question, do we want revival? And I think a better question might be a little different, because I asked earlier when we were doing yes and no, do you want success? And I can't imagine anybody not wanting success. You know, I could probably go to every school here in town, even the elementary school, and ask kids if they want to be successful. And most likely they would all say, yes, I want to be successful. But if I ask the question, and this is what we know, is that success requires sacrifice, because to be successful at something, you have to give something else up. If you want to keep a clean room at home, oh, am I looking right at you? I'm sorry. If you want to keep a clean room at home, I'll talk to this side. A clean room at home, you have to sacrifice. Uh-oh, I see some people looking at their kids. If you want to keep a clean room, I'll look at the people on Facebook. If you want to keep a clean room at home, you have to sacrifice the time that you would like to spend doing something else. And for the time that it takes to be organized requires time. So you have to sacrifice. And so this is true of our lives. If we want to be successful, we have to be organized, because confusion is chaos, and God is not a God of chaos or confusion, but he's a God of order. That means there's a place for everything, and everything should be in its place. Now, you can ask my wife, I am not a person of order. I'm working on it. Come on. Jesus has grace, right? So I'm working on this, and there's a lot of us that are working on organization. But success requires sacrifice. And so to ask the question, do you want revival, isn't really a fair question. What I should say is, do you want a sacrifice? Because Jesus came to save that which was lost. And what it required of Jesus was sacrifice. So if we're to put on Jesus Christ, if we are to be Christ-like, it requires sacrifice. we want revival, we will have to love the way Jesus loves. And I specify that because if I had been in a church service when I was a teenager and the pastor has said, hey, go around and tell people you love them. I love you, right? Not that kind of love, but the agape love, the love of Christ. What love is, the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. So we have to understand this love is different than human love. It's a love that gives of itself sacrificially. Jesus says in John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. You know, this is so important when we think about, do we want revival? And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask the question, the pop quiz portion of today's service, is what will revival look like? So when we think about what revival look like, what revival will look like, we think about what Jesus says in John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Well, who are the disciples of Jesus if it is not his church? The people that get together every Sunday and listen to his word that have the truth. He says, if my disciples have this, then everyone will know that you're mine if you love one another. So if we love one another, if we love one another, the world will know that we're his disciples. If we don't love one another, the world won't know. How many of you guys have heard of mirror neurons? Now, in the first service, somebody told me that they didn't know what I said because I speak weird, right? Only one person saying no. So mirror, the thing you look in when you get up. In the bathroom, the mirror, where you comb your hair. Mirror neurons. Anybody heard of mirror neurons? Still the same effect. All right, I'm getting aware of this. So we have mirror neurons, science has figured out. And what that means is that when we see something, reflectively, it produces in us the emotions and the chemical response that doing the thing does in the person doing it. This is why when you watch TV, you can get all emotional because you feel what they're feeling. When we watch a play, we lose ourselves in Hamlet because emotionally we become entangled in the emotions that we are seeing betrayed. When you come to church and I act all nutty, you feel it because you feel the emotions that I'm betraying because you have mirror neurons. So when somebody steps to you and they act all foul and amiss, what's wrong with you? We tend to get the same. We regurgitate that same emotion because there is something neurologically in us that gives back what it receives. So when somebody is chipper and smiley and, hello, how are you today? It puts a smile on her face. And we don't know why. Chemically, it's already produced the effects of a smile within us before we ever smile. And so what we're saying as a church, we have this awesome opportunity to take the love of Christ out into the world. Did it make us feel good to say, I love you to one another this morning? This is the no card. All right. So, she can't see it. I held it up to her defense. I did use my right hand to show the no card. That was wrong. That was wrong of me. I'm working on it. So we can, each and every week, we come together to grow in the love of Jesus Christ and to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And so each and every day, as we go out into the world, we've got, you know, them 6 days that we're out there around family, friends, and coworkers. And a lot of us spend more time with coworkers than we do our family. And I just wonder what it is our faces are saying. We got a lively one over here. So listen, whatever this, If you get nothing else this morning, write this down. Take it with you. Think about it. Meditate on it. Put it on your mirror. Whatever is in our heart is on our face. Whatever is in our heart is on our face. Whatever is in our heart is on our face. So if you have a heart that is filled with joy and happiness and mirth, a happy heart makes a joyful countenance. It's in the Old Testament. A happy heart makes a joyful countenance. The way you appear, the way you look. And so if your heart, what is in your heart, is worry, dread, and you've got everything that you've got to get done, and you've got a lot going on, and you've got people depending on you, probably the thing that is on your face is, I'm busy. Get out of my way. Anybody ever had get out of your way on your face? The idiot in front of you just sat through a green light. We talked about this in the first service, and you know, I want a horn with enough decimals that people can have a born again experience when I blow that thing. Like, ooh, what? You know, something that wakes you up deep inside on a whole new level. Because I'm busy and I've got somewhere to be. Get out of my way. I'm better than you. You're annoying me. How about the please? Does anybody know the please don't talk to me face? Wow. Take your problems. I saw you coming a mile away, and I just wanted to get out of the zone, right? So we all have a look on our face, and usually it's whatever is in our heart is on our face, because whatever is in our heart is what we're focusing on. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Whatever we're focused on, our treasure is what we're focusing on. And for a lot of it, it's our kids, and we're focusing on our kids, and they're our treasure. And that might not be biblically good, because they're not our kids, they're God's kids, and we should treat them as such. And sometimes that requires we don't treat them like they're precious little jewels, because they're not. They're spoiled brats, and we need to treat them accordingly, right? And so, you know, these are just biblical facts this morning. Don't get upset at me, the Bible says it. All right, I'm moving on. So wherever our heart is, our treasure is. So wherever, whatever is in our heart is on our face, and whatever we're focusing on is in our heart. Awkward moment. Just hold with me. Revival will require sacrifice. Do we believe that revival will require sacrifice? Left hand means no.
Yes.
So, the pop quiz portion of today's sermon. What will revival look like? Does anybody know? Anybody got a guess? Take a wild stab on it. If you got the bulletin when you came in, it's got the same write-up that Pastor Paul did in the email. And Pastor Paul talked a little bit about what revival is. So that might give you a couple things about what revival looks like. Anybody got that? What do you guys think revival will look like? What will revival look like? Somebody start us off. What's that? Outgoing? In what way? We'll be more vocal about our faith. We'll be more vocal about who Jesus Christ is. So a revival will cause the church to be outward focused and louder about our outward reach. What else? What else? What will revival look like? What would it look like? What will revival look like? So less worry. So more confidence. Confidence in who Jesus is. You know, we sing that, there's that song, Reckless Love. And you know, in a lot of ways, what God did looks reckless, but it wasn't. Love, there's no fear in love. Love never fails. Love couldn't fail. God wasn't worried. God wasn't, you know, at any time concerned that it wouldn't work out. God knew that love never fails. What else do you guys think? What does revival look? You know what? I'm not being very good. Who wants to? Man, I got prizes for good. Thanks for participating. Facebook, don't worry, I'm coming right. Who was it? Yeah. Anybody else? Did anybody else give an answer? Did I skip anybody? I don't want anybody to feel left out. Jerry just won it. Hey, sucker. Thanks. All right, so from now on, I'm just going to throw them at you because I know people on Facebook are like, where's Sequel? All right, so I was just kidding. I won't throw them at you. What else? Revival, what's it look like? Coming together. Love. Revival's love. So, you know, I used to think, and I still pray a lot of times. Anybody ever pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit? Anybody ever pray for that? Hey, McCart, I'm sorry. You only few people pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit. Well, what do we think that looks like? Is it flopping around? I need my car. You guys are a hard group. Maybe. Maybe we don't know. What is the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit according to the Word of God? What does the Bible say the Spirit will do? You look like you're about to say something. No? She's like, man, please don't call me again. Anybody? Dylan? Hey, welcome to church. It's nice to have you here today. Anybody? Any ideas at all? What does revival look like? What will revival look like? Coming together, a vocal church, a pouring out of God's love? Yes. Joy. How's your catching skills? Watch out for the interception. Oh, you almost. Come alive. Yeah. So a renewed focus on the Lord, not on ourselves. So, you know, that's a change of heart from being self-centered. The Bible says that in the last days, love will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. And that men will be wicked, adulterous, lovers of money and self, and not of God. So a revival would be the opposite of that. It would be a focus not on self, but on God, on putting others first. Anything else before we wrap it up? Guys. Thank you, Sue. You did a wonderful job. And if you hadn't said nothing, it's awkward because like nobody's participating. And listen, I get not participating. I live with an introvert, and she probably hates right now that I'm talking about that. And she'll probably tell me that was the most awkward service I ever sat through. And if church was like that all the time, I wouldn't even go. Thank you for participating. You guys, give yourselves a. I mean, to get up and tell each other, you know, look each other in the eye and say, I love you. That's a lot. That's a lot. So I hear you, and you guys did an amazing job. So revival, and when I think about what the Holy Spirit is, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth and convicts of sin. Do we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? We do unless we're hiding stuff. We do unless we're hiding stuff. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you today for your Holy Spirit. Lord, and we do pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit, that you would bring revival. And Lord, we know that it requires sacrifice. Because each and every day when we go out into the world, we are taking a message with us and it is written on our face. And Father, help us to be a church that takes the message that says, I love you to the people that we meet. Father, we pray that people that come in contact with us would feel loved, Because that's what would be in our heart, that we wouldn't be too busy, that we wouldn't be disinterested, that we wouldn't be distracted and worried about other things. Father, we just thank you this morning for the love that you showed us, that the life of Jesus Christ spoke loud and clear with great definiteness of purpose. We hear that you say, I love you. And Father, we thank you for your love this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Church, let's sing as we close this morning.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
The sun comes up, it's a new day.
Thousand years and forever.
let's end with this. Sing like never before.
Oh, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name.
Oh, I will
worship your holy name.
One more time. Yes, I will
worship your holy name.
You all sounded so good this morning. Thanks for worshiping with us. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can.